Hi, I'm Rachel T.
Hi, I'm Eva.
Hi, I'm Rachel G.
We are all Girl Scouts, and this is WGXC ACRA.
Hi, everyone. It's Lily, the Youth Peer Leader from Mental Health Association of Columbia Greene County's Clubhouse. Are you a teen wanting to learn more about health education? Maybe you're looking to complete your volunteer hours or in need of a job. The weekly teen clinic on Wednesdays from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. at Family Planning, located on the third floor of the county building on Main Street in Catskill, can help you answer any of your questions. Information can be found at greengovernment.com. Hope to see you there.
Most radio shows don't come with a demonstration. But most radio shows aren't Radio Wonderland.
Greatest hits.
And emotion. What's love got to do? Stop to do. 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 Stop to do.
Right, so then I take more pieces of live radio, slice them, fit them into the groove, and then in a few minutes you get something like...
In LA, some restrictions apply.
It's radio made completely out of radio. I'm Joshua, but you just call me Radio Wonderland.
10:30 a.m. Saturday mornings till 11.
Some restrictions apply.
Underwriting is provided in part by Chronogram. Looking to stay informed about the latest in Hudson Valley dining, culture, and happenings? Chronogram's Eat, Play, Stay newsletter delivers curated updates on restaurants, bars, shops, local events, and more straight to your inbox. Covering food, culture, news, and real estate, it's designed to keep you in the loop 5 days a week. Discover what's new and noteworthy in the region by signing up at chronogram.com/newsletter.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous support of Portia of Catchville, New York. WGXC supporters care deeply about creative community radio. Their generosity and investment keep this unique station viable. You too can become a monthly supporter by going to WGXC.org/donate. and establishing a donation at the amount of your choosing. We hope you will do so. Thank you so much for your support.
Good evening and welcome to Dim the Lights with Jenny and Amanda. I'm Amanda.
I'm Jenny.
And we are a twice a month radio talk show here on WGXC every second and fourth Tuesday of the month from 7 to 8 p.m. We get on the airwaves to talk about whatever theme we've chosen for this episode. We usually watch movies separately around that theme, and then we surprise each other with what we watched on the airwaves. And tonight... Actually, all month in January, both of our episodes are going to be dedicated to catching up on the movies of 2024 right before award season.
So exciting. They're always making more of them.
Honestly, they're too many.
It's time. It's our time to finally catch up.
Exactly. And boy, oh boy, do I have a lot of catching up to do. So next episode is going to be a bit more of an organized. We're going to come prepared with some lists of our favorite new releases of 2024, and then our favorite movies that we watched in 2024, no matter the year of their release. But tonight, we're just going to catch up on a few of the big ones that have come out recently.
Yeah.
Recency bias.
We are indulging.
Yes.
In recency bias.
Exactly.
Because sometimes that's just what you have to do.
Exactly. But before we get into any of that, as usual, we're going to tell you about what's playing in the theaters in our area. And I'm going to start by telling you about what's playing at the Wyndham Theater in Wyndham, New York. We have A Complete Unknown, Mufasa, The Lion King, and Sonic 3. You can find out more about showtimes and tickets by going to WyndhamTheater.com. That's W-I-N-D-H-A-M Theater.com.
All right, and I'm going to tell you about what's playing at TSL in Hudson. This weekend, we have A Traveler's Needs, Every Little Thing, Art Spiegelman, Disaster Is My Muse, followed by Director Q&A on this Friday, Saturday. There's also The Umbrellas of Cherbourg, Queer, and Oceans Are Real Continents. It looks like also next weekend they have All We Imagine Is Light, which is one of the 2024 movies I have on my list that I haven't seen yet.
Me too.
So if you're interested in any of those movies or any of the other things that are happening at TSL, which is always, they've got a million things going on, you can find out more information at timeandspace.org.
Amazing. I'm going to tell you about what's playing at the Spotlight Theater in Hudson. That is the one on Fairview Avenue with 8 screens. I've selected what's playing today on the 14th, but this is probably a little taste of what's playing for the rest of the week. We have Baby Girl, A Complete Unknown, Nosferatu, Mufasa the Lion King, Sonic 3, Moana 2, Wicked, Flow, Between Border, One of Them Days, Wolfman, The Last Showgirl, Green and Gold, and they're playing, it looks like, all of the Harry Potters as well. As well as The Goonies and a Buster Keaton movie. So wow, they've got a lot going on, which is exciting. And you can find out more by going to spotlighttheater.com and make sure that you select the Hudson, New York location.
All right. And now I'm going to tell you about what's playing at the Upstate Films locations, starting with the Star Cinema, which is the location in Rhinebeck. We have Baby Girl, A Complete Unknown, and The Room Next Door. But they do also have an ad at the top saying tickets on sale now for The Brutalist, the most anticipated film of the season, by the way. So don't forget. And then heading across the river to the Orpheum Theater in Saugerties, we have The Third Man, Baby Girl, A Complete Unknown, Nosferatu, All We Imagine as Light, Soundtrack to a Coup d'Etat, Flow, The Substance, Anora, and Let's Get Lost. And if you're interested in any of those films or their showtimes, you can find out more information at upstatefilms.org.
Amazing. All right. I'm going to tell you about what's playing at Story Screen Cinema in Hudson, also on Fairview Avenue, but the one with 3 screens. They have a lot going on, as always, so I do recommend that you follow them on Instagram and check out their website. Right now, what's playing is A Complete Unknown, Nosferatu, and Baby Girl. And then they have a lot of, they screen a lot of older movies. So this month they have Blood Simple, 2001 A Space Odyssey, Babes, and Drop Dead Fred.
Oh, wow.
And then coming soon is Sing Sing, Flow, Nickel Boys, The Brutalist, Companion, and the Oscar-nominated short films, as well as Captain America, Brave New World, and Paddington in Peru.
Wow.
I know.
They got it all.
Which is why I recommend you head on over to storyscreenpresents.com and check out more.
Amazing. I feel like there were so many movies that came out last year, and yet I'm missing so many of the big ones that I want to see.
I know. And
my God.
Feeling disorganized as I am tonight about the movies to talk about, I went on Wikipedia and selected the Wikipedia page for all the American movies that came out in 2024. And it is
that's crazy.
Wild remembering the movies that came out a year ago.
Yeah. Amanda just reminded me that Civil War was this year, which seems
insane.
Crazy. I'm like, that can't be true. Absolutely can't be true.
The Bike Riders, like all these.
Oh, yeah. Man, yeah. I never saw that.
I didn't either. Inside Out 2. Didn't see that either.
No, nor did I. It turns out they just keep making them.
Exactly.
It's so crazy. They don't stop no matter how much we plea every other week.
They really don't. So tonight we're going to talk about 2 big ones that came out recently because they're fresh in our minds. And then, you know, we'll see where we go from there.
Yeah.
Where do you want to start?
Let's just get Nosferatu out of the way.
Let's just do it. All right. So Robert Eggers, who I sometimes accidentally call Dave Eggers.
Literally every time. I've called him Dave Eggers so many times this month.
He's an author,
right? He's an author who I think does I've never read a Dave Eggers book. This is when I reveal this.
I can't read.
But I think he does so true, queen.
Thank you.
He is I think of him as a millennial, like an alt millennial writer, where like people who are our age are like, oh, he's so good, but they're like the worst people on the world. I mean, I could be wrong. I've never read one. But I called Robert Eggers David Eggers to our coworker the other day and was humiliated when I remembered.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, man.
Happens all the time. So Robert Eggers of The Witch and the Lighthouse fame. Has he done anything else?
The Northman.
The Northman. That's right.
Seen.
That's right. So this is the guy who made The Witch, all A24 productions. The Witch, I loved when it came out, mm-hmm. and I consider it to be kind of one of the first movies in this kind of new era of horror mm-hmm. that we have now, which is a lot of people call elevated horror, which is a term that I hate.
Yeah.
We both hate. But yeah, this era of more like ultra aesthetic horror. Oh, I'm waiting to wave at our friends
our
outside
friends
the
are
window.
Outside. Hi. Hi. Oh my God. Friends of the show.
Friends of the show, Chris and Kyung.
Whoa.
They're, all right. So if you haven't been to the Catskill radio station yet, there's a big old window facing the street. And, you know, so anybody can come by and put their tongue against the glass, all that kind of stuff.
It's pretty exciting. One of these days we're going to figure out a way to do interaction with people on the street.
Exactly. Maybe have some question cards facing
exactly.
out to the street. We're going to have it one day.
Yeah, we will figure
it out.
I'm excited. But if you find yourself in Catskill between 7 and 8 p.m. on the second and fourth Tuesday of the month,
give
you can walk
knock.
Past
give
and us see us
knock.
And we'll say hi.
Yeah,
we'd
exactly.
love to see you.
Give us a knock. You guys want to come inside? Do you
the door's
come
open.
Inside?
It's unlocked.
Do you come
on come
in.
In.
Come on in. Come on in. We're just about to start talking about Nosferatu if you guys want to come on in.
We're talking about Robert Eggers and his effect on horror, starting with The Witch in 2015.
Exactly.
If you'll recall.
Exactly. Robert Eggers made a splash with The Witch in... What was that?
I said 2015 so
that
confidently.
Right. No,
I
no,
feel
no.
like that's right, but I don't
right.
know.
It was that. And I actually recently rewatched it and it didn't hold up as well that's as I bad. Wanted it to. But again, one of those movies that really made a big impression when it came out because we hadn't really seen anything quite like it in a while.
Yeah, totally.
And his vibe seems like, you know, a good one for taking on a little bit of German expressionism with Nosferatu.
Absolutely. A man who's obsessed with historical accuracy, which I don't know anything, so I simply can't speak to that, but I just respect his desire to do things as accurately as possible.
I know, but those wigs were pretty bad in Nosferatu.
I literally don't know what wigs you're talking about. You said that yesterday at work.
Everyone's
and I was like,
wigs.
What?
Everyone's wigs.
I really disagree. I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about.
I went to see it with one of my best friends who works in costuming. Mm. And I was thinking it, but I wasn't sure. And then they leaned over and they were like, everyone's wigs are terrible, which
That's
made me feel
fascinating.
Confirmed in my belief.
It makes me want to watch it again because that I didn't notice at all. And I feel like I've become a person who's more aware of wigs in movies over the last couple of years. Because when you see a bad one, you know it's bad.
It's true. It's true.
It's like, oh, wow. Once you start to realize that everybody's wearing wigs in movies, you really start to look at the hairlines.
Yeah.
And you're like,
that's not real hair.
That's not real. That's not their hair. Which is fine. There's nothing wrong with wearing a wig. But when it's really obvious, it's like, what are we doing? What's the budget like? What are we doing?
Maybe I can forgive it because people back then were all wearing wigs.
Yeah, but I don't think the characters in that movie were wearing wigs. Interesting.
You guys want to say anything?
We should have some witnesses.
All right. So.
Okay. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.
I love you.
I love
so
you guys.
To see you.
Bye. Bye. Come back sometime.
Yeah. We'll get you next time.
This is maybe a good example of the different feelings that Jenny and I had about this movie. Uh-huh. Jenny, do you want to tell me about how you felt about 2024's Nosferatu?
I really liked Nosferatu. Here's the thing. In the intervening weeks, I've read some reviews that are middling, and I respect them. However, I just had a really nice time at the movies.
Yeah.
It's one of those movies where I'm like, there are things about it that didn't like that don't hit, especially in retrospect, but I had such a good time in the theater watching it. I feel like the craft is so high in terms of, like, Robert Eggers has, I can't remember exactly what it is, but he has like some specific lens company that made him like special lenses for that movie, for the night scene specifically. And like, there are a couple of scenes in that movie that I've been thinking about ever since that made it enjoyable enough to me to forgive some of the things that I didn't think were as interesting.
Yeah.
So like, my overall opinion of Nosferatu is that I really liked it. I had a really good time. I saw it in the movie theater, in a theater that was very cold, which I think on Christmas Day, which I think really added to the atmosphere.
It was like smell-o-vision.
I was freezing. It was very, very cold in the movie theater.
It's perfect.
It's like, in my opinion, it's like, it's a little bit too long. I've read some critiques of Count Orlok's depiction, like in terms of, so like the, for those of you who aren't familiar, Nosferatu originally, it was from the 30s. It's a 20s even?
It's a 30s sounds right.
F.W. Murnau film. And it's a ripoff of Dracula. Like, he made it without consulting the Bram Stoker estate. And then Bram Stoker's wife
1922.
So it is the 20s. And it is a really exciting silent film from that time. Like, it's really beautiful. Mm-hmm. It's like very exciting because it's one of the first movies that kind of looks like that, but it does have this weird kind of weird is not the right word, but offensive, like anti-Eastern European vibe.
There's a lot of like depictions of Roma people.
Yes. And Nosferatu himself, Count Orlok, is like a gross, disfigured, like, man from Eastern Europe.
Yeah.
And I've read a couple of critiques of 2024's Nosferatu that are like, it doesn't really do anything with that. It just keeps him as like a gross man.
Yeah. It actually makes him more of a man too, yeah, which totally. I think I didn't like, as you know, yeah. But we'll talk about that.
But I, all of those things aside, which I think are absolutely valid, and like, yeah, like there are some critiques of that film that are basically just like, it feels like Robert Eggers didn't do anything with the material, which I'm like, yeah, kind of. It doesn't feel like he's done anything new with it. But at the same time, I found it to be really compelling. I really like, I don't know, I really like how nasty Count Orlok is in that movie, which is like maybe not correct, but I do. I found his depiction to be really interesting, and like the relationship between him and Ellen, the main character, played by Lily Rose Depp, who I thought gave a great performance. I know Amanda disagrees mm-hmm. with that, but
I'll say my piece soon.
Yeah. Yeah. But I found her to be really, I don't know. Like, I think I saw a couple of critiques ahead of watching it that were like, she doesn't have 1830s face. And I was like, I really disagree. She looks like she's from 1830. No problem. Yeah. Like, I don't know.
That's definitely not my beef with her. Yeah, no, I think her face is fine.
Yeah. Yeah. But I just, I don't know. There were things about it that, I don't really have anything articulate to say other than that, like, I felt really immersed in the world. The craft of it, I found so thrilling. Like, real costumes, real sets, like, people actually taking it seriously, which I do think Robert Eggers' films are more compelling when they have an element of humor.
Yeah.
Like, for like, we've both talked about
this,
but, like, The Lighthouse
is his best movie.
Is absolutely his best and my favorite. And, like, Nosferatu doesn't have that much humor to it. It's very serious. Everyone in it feels like they're taking it very seriously. Like, there are a couple of characters, like Willem Dafoe and then the guy who plays the Renfield type.
Yeah.
Both are kind of like acting on a different level where like they're both taking it to a more extreme, not necessarily like comedic place, but a
campier place.
Yeah, like a heightened place.
Which I loved when they finally showed up for
absolutely.
That reason.
And so like, I think it would be more effective if there was more of that, whereas everyone else is really playing it straight. But in general, I've found it really compelling and moving. And like, I'm a simple creature. I'm like, the image, like that one shot of Nicholas Holt's character when he's on his way to the castle and he's in the middle of the forest.
Yeah.
And it's like, he's just on, like, in the middle of the street.
Yeah.
It's so, I don't know. I was just like captivated by like that energy really worked for me. Yeah. And that carried me through the entire movie, even though it's like a little too long.
Yeah.
There's some things that I would change about it if it were me. But like I, in general, all of those things won me over enough that I still thought that I still really enjoyed it.
Yeah. See, I'm like, almost like the opposite where I think we probably feel the same way about the same scenes. Mm-hmm. Like I also loved that scene. I'm like, okay, this is it. This is the vibe. Like,
good. Yeah.
When you're going to do a remake, especially a remake of something that's so iconic and has already been remade. So I've never seen the 1922 mm-hmm. Nosferatu. But in preparation for this, I did watch Nosferatu, the Vampire, the Werner Herzog version with Klaus Kinski, mm-hmm. which was great.
Yeah.
I mean, talk about a good face for horror.
Oh,
both
yeah.
him and Isabella Gianni, who plays Lily Rose Depp's character.
So good, yeah.
Fantastic. That was wonderful. And I'm glad I watched it because, as you already mentioned, it is the Bram Stoker's Dracula story, but it diverges in a lot of ways. I mean, I haven't read the book in a long time, so
pretty good.
It's great. All the ways that it does diverge, I couldn't tell you, but, I loved that scene. I loved, the shadow of
yes.
Nosferatu's hand, yeah. like spreading out over the city. All of that, like shadow play.
Yeah.
Like the first shot of the castle, that was mm-hmm. fantastic. But for me, all of those beautifully built scenes did not last long enough. They didn't give them enough time, mm-hmm. I felt. And then to me, there were so many panning transitions that I felt dizzy in the theater. There were a lot of camera work that was like, we have a shot of someone's face and then we're panning up and over them and mm-hmm. backwards and behind them.
Yeah.
And then like, like spinning. There was just, and some of these scenes that I wanted to stay on longer.
Yeah,
like
totally.
I wanted to feel the gravity and the, like, or the beauty of some of those scenes. And they went too fast mm-hmm. and too quickly. More screen time was eaten up by another scene of Lily Rose Depp convulsing,
yeah.
which I'm like, I didn't think that she necessarily did an entirely bad job, but like they didn't need that many. There was just a lot of repetition in a way that I felt was like not impactful mm-hmm. and just took me back out.
Yeah, totally.
There'd be a scene that got me back in and then something would happen right after that took me right back out.
Yeah, totally.
And Count Orlok, here we go.
Are we going to talk about the mustache?
We are going to talk about the mustache, which I know I'm not alone in my beef with the beefy mustache. So I'm with you on that. Like, I like that he's really gross.
Yeah.
When we finally see him suck someone's blood for the Ugh. First time, it's disgusting
it's so
and amazing.
Gross. It's so good.
Again, like I'm saying, I didn't finish my thought earlier. When you make a remake of something iconic, I feel like there's this tricky balance, which I, as someone who's not a filmmaker, would know nothing about, but a tricky balance between like uplifting the original mm-hmm. material and bringing something new. And like,
yeah.
where is it that you add things that are new?
Right. Totally.
And it's things like that where it's like, yeah, make it gross.
Make it grosser.
Make
yeah, it could
hornier.
Be grosser actually and hornier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the first scene where he sucks someone's blood is disgusting.
It's so
and it's
good.
Great. Ugh. I loved that.
Nasty.
Yeah, but then again, I felt the mustache like All right, so he's more corpse-like
yeah.
in this movie, which is cool.
God,
I think it's cool.
That.
I actually
yeah.
liked that he had like a little patch of hair on his mm-hmm. head, but you know, why a full complete mustache when you can't keep all of his head hair?
It just, there's something about it that feels, and again, this is like entirely feeling based, so I have no.
That's what movies are
that's
for.
What movies are
you
for.
Don't, I'm, we're nine of, we're not professional critics.
It just, it's like when you watch a period piece where the women have bad hairstyles, but it's because they're period accurate hairstyles that it's like still really compelling to me. It feels like his mustache is like period accurate, even
yeah.
though I have no idea if it is. I absolutely have no clue.
I think that's why it's there, because
it
it's Robert
be,
Eggers,
he's
and he's like,
with
I'm going going to be period accurate. But I'm like, you gave a mustache and you took away the teeth.
Yeah, I don't need the teeth, frankly. But to me, it's like the scene after he, spoiler alert.
Yeah, this is going to be full of spoilers.
Yeah, we're just going to talk about it. I'm sorry. Towards the end where he is feeding on Lily Rose Depp, yeah, and he like his he looks up and there's like blood dripping from his mustache. I think it's so repulsive, and I really appreciate that. Like, part of her character is that she's drawn between, you know, her like genuine love for Thomas, her husband, and this like insane weird lust that she feels for this creature who she's had a previous encounter with. And like, there's something about that that feels so primal and disgusting.
Yeah.
And like, also during that scene, one of her fingers, it doesn't, I don't even know if they did it on purpose, but like her finger like sinks into one of the holes in the back of his back.
I'm sure they did on purpose.
And it's so like, it's so gross and so, but also feels so like, yeah, primal is just the word I want to use, where it's like their bodies are like disgusting.
Yeah.
And it, yeah, and that is so compelling to me because we never see that kind of like nasty.
Yeah.
Like engaging in intimacy.
Yes.
You know, which like obviously there's a lot of subterfuge there. Like it's not it's not like true intimacy with her.
Yeah. Like she the only way she knows she's the only one who can save the day,
right?
Because she is the object of his desire, ultimately why he's showed up in Bismarck or whatever,
right?
And so she knows that she's the only one who can save the day by keeping him with her until daylight,
yeah,
when he's gonna shrivel up and expire, which is again, the only one I've seen, which is the Werner Herzog one, the same ending. Mm-hmm. I liked the ending. When it started to happen, yeah, in the theater, I audibly went, yes.
Yes. Yeah, I know. I feel like so the ending I really liked really the compelling.
Yeah, yeah, I thought totally. The ending was great.
Yeah.
I thought it was great. It was all the extra mm-hmm. fat in the middle.
Yeah, totally.
That wasn't juicy, delicious fat to me. It was like, we're doing another scene where she's freaking out and she's shaking a lot. And like, some of them were fine.
Yeah.
I
understand, like, I definitely understand that because this movie did feel too long to me, but there weren't really any scenes that I felt were like, this should be cut. Like, I felt like all of it was kind of interesting. Like, I find her relationship with her friend, whose name I can't remember, really compelling.
I can't either. I like the relationship.
Like,
with
I love
friend.
That. And how, and
that's akin to Dracula as well.
And like the nasty, it's not actually nasty. He's just a wife guy. Like, yeah. Aaron Taylor Johnson.
Being like, oh, I love
I'm obsessed
porking
with
my wife.
Like, I just, all of that's like, there's definitely something from that movie that needs to be trimmed because it feels too long for sure. Like, while I was in it, I was, and partially maybe because I was really cold, I was like, oh boy, I hope this is over soon.
I know, it's yeah, it is too long
as a person who like otherwise really enjoyed it.
Yeah,
but it's hard for me to pinpoint what exactly I don't need, because I actually like the scenes. I don't feel like there are that many scenes of Lily Rose Depp convulsing, actually. Like, I think there's only like two.
No, there's so many. Okay. There's so many. There's like, the one where they hook up after.
Yeah,
there's the one where she's on the, when they're going for a walk and she's on the shore.
That's fair.
And then there's like all of the other ones beyond that.
I guess so. I feel like there's not that many.
There's a lot. There's actually
there
so
are
many.
Like a lot of scenes. I will say, friend of the show, Anne Boylan, who may or may not be listening. I should look.
Yeah,
at,
let's see if Anne's listening. Is Anne listening?
I don't know where to look to see if one
it's
person
just
is listening.
It's been up on
usual.
The screen when I've been there.
I don't see it. It's unclear to me.
Did Anne like it?
And I don't, we haven't actually talked about it yet, but she did give it 3 stars
out
of 5. And in her review, sorry, Anne, I'm going to out you, said, I think this movie is actually, controversial opinion, a little too harsh on Victorian era medicine. Which, like, totally. I do think all of the stuff with Willem Dafoe and that actor who I love, Ralph Ineson, who is the hot dad from The Witch. Did you recognize him?
Yeah.
And he also plays the Green Knight in The Green Knight.
Yeah.
I love him.
I love him
He's
too.
Like
He's
the
great.
Other doctor in Nosferatu. I did feel like those scenes kind of went on too long. That was
yes.
like where they're talking about Ellen, like, and they're like, tie her up in her corset, tighter.
Yeah, it's true. There's some of those scenes, because they go on too long too, you actually see where the script mm-hmm. weakens
yeah.
as well. Like, there's, I feel like there's another scene of dialogue in the back of a coach, like
yeah.
toward the end of the movie, where they're figuring out their plan of How to Kill Count Orlok.
Right.
And it's just like it's a like, little bit this. Sloppy.
Yeah,
like,
totally.
Part of what makes that story wonderful is that it is kind of simple. And yeah. like, it's a long story. But ultimately, yeah, like the parts that were kind of simple and they could have trusted us to get it, what was going on a little bit more, they kind of over-explained in some of those scenes of yeah. dialogue. I always want things on the ship to go on longer too.
I know. I mean, that's the thing. That's my classic. I don't think you were on. I think it was a guest episode when we talked about the last voyage of the Demeter,
which is terrible.
So bad. I keep seeing people being like, "It's actually a good movie."
No,
and
it's
I'm like,
not.
"You're wrong.
You're so wrong." And it's not
the
good.
Best. It's literally the best part of Dracula, and
it's
the movie
so
is so boring.
Fun.
So bad.
It's such a the last voyage of the Demeter is terrible.
Because it's such a compelling part of the novel. And like I did feel like
well, it's like the part on the ship in Frankenstein.
Yeah, totally.
It's so
yeah.
fun.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or reading in, ship's logs?
Yeah, God. Of course. It's so fun. And it just yeah, to me it just feels also sorry, I was looking at Radiologic instead of the butt. And now that I've pulled up the butt, we do have one listener. So it might be Anne.
That's probably Anne.
But yeah, it just, to me, there's so much meat on the bone in that story. And I feel like Nosferatu took like a little bite.
Yes.
And as a person who otherwise really enjoyed that movie, like I do feel like there's, it doesn't have as much of the juice as I wanted it to.
Yeah.
Which is a bummer. Because I love most adaptations. Like, I'm a big fan of Francis Ford Coppola's Bram
yeah.
Stoker's Dracula.
Yeah. Which has, like, that thing, don't know how to turn off the juice.
Yeah, it's maybe too much juice, some could say. I wouldn't.
Yeah, I think ultimately, like, we feel the same way from different directions.
Yeah.
Where I feel like I also wanted more out of it. And the parts that felt like they were just getting started didn't last long
yeah.
enough. And then it just wasted kind of more time on these scenes that I found dull.
Yeah.
Bummer. I know. Bummer.
Sometimes that's the way it goes.
The Werner Herzog version, and again, not to match it up to another version, but that version had some sweet little moments in it where Nosferatu hints at the sorrow of living forever
Ooh,
and without
love,
love.
That's pretty good.
And so there's a little like, and he'll say something like, imagine living forever without love. And someone's like, what'd you say? And he's like, never mind.
Don't worry. Never mind. Forget I said
so,
anything.
You know, I mean, that's paraphrasing, but I wanted that to be a bit more implied in this one too, just because I love that part
yeah.
so much. And that's kind of part of Francis Ford Coppola's Bram Stoker's Dracula as well. Like where there is,
he's lonely.
Yeah. Like there, it's a love of a carnal carnage love. And
yeah.
also like, I want to be not alone in eternity.
Yeah, totally. I will say something that I really liked about 2024's Nosferatu is that he actually isn't much of a person. He's really like they describe him as an appetite, and
yes.
I do
That's
really
cool.
like that. Like
I
think it's interesting that he's not human at all. Like there's yeah. kind of nothing about him that speaks to that other than like a carnal desire
yeah.
of darkness and to continue just eating.
Yeah,
like I do for me. I just there's something about that is really compelling. Like I know I'm saying that over and over again, but like it just feels like I don't need my monsters to be human always. And I've never seen the Herzog Nosferatu, which I would really like to, because I think that's like another kind of story that I do like. Like I think
yeah.
they're kind of maybe even doing two different projects, which is interesting. Like there is the humanizing of the monster versus the like we're treating this like it is truly an entity. Like
yeah.
there is no humanity there at all. And I think they're just doing maybe two different things, but
yeah, I'm glad that I watched it beforehand because I did. Oh my gosh. I did
I know,
need
I keep
that
popping too.
My big teeth keep hitting the microphone. My big teeth. Just like
just like Nosferatu, which you do not see, unfortunately.
But I'm glad I watched it ahead of time because it did give me a good backbone, because the new one is very much telling the same story with just a lot of extra time.
Yeah, totally.
And the, yeah, it's still has like the whole plague element to it too. Yeah, I don't know. I think I saw a screenshot of Nosferatu the Vampire, the Werner Herzog mm-hmm. one. I'm pretty sure it was from that one and not the new one, where like when Jonathan Harker's mm-hmm. character goes
Thomas
yeah. yeah goes to Count Orlok's castle, and Count Orlok sees the locket with the mm-hmm. photo
yeah.
of Isabella Johnny, who yeah, plays totally. The Rose Depp's character. He grabs it and goes, "Beautiful throat." Which I'm
that
like,
rules.
That's awesome.
That rules. Amazing.
It's so good.
God, I gotta watch that one. Yeah. It sounds so good.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. Throat. Beautiful throat. And
love
he's like,
it.
What?
Love to see it. It's like in the Francis Ford Coppola movie when Gary Oldman like throws the shaving mirror from Keanu Reeves. Is like, stop that.
Like, so good.
Stop that.
Oh, I know.
So good.
I wanted, again, I respect that it's got to do something different. And, you know, I maybe do myself a bit of a disservice by seeing the Werner one so soon before I saw this one. Though I don't, I feel like my gripes with this one have a, like, aren't
yeah, they
very
seem
much
different
to do.
To me,
but
yeah.
In the Werner one, there's a beautiful scene that involves, like, not having a reflection yeah. as a vampire. And I'm like, oof.
Hoist.
A little.
That's nice.
And it was pretty, like, you know, it was just one scene.
Yeah, totally. But, yeah, I think that they're maybe just doing different things, but it is, it's hard not to compare them when it's like, okay, you're adapting the same source material, but with the same twist, the same,
yeah,
you know, the same off, you know, not authorized
yeah.
source material.
I loved the Renfield character.
Yeah, he's so good. I don't know what his name
and
is
he
in this
is
one.
Really, like, his performance is very akin to the same character in the Werner
yeah.
one, where it's just, he shows up and it's like, okay, we're going full throttle.
Yeah, I do.
We're going full kook.
It's a really fun twist because it is, he seems really weird when you first see him, and he keeps making puns where yeah. you're like, what?
And like kind of giggling.
Yeah, it's like, what's that guy's deal? And then, and then it's like, oh, okay, no, he's like a total freak.
Yeah.
Which is it's a very fun reveal.
Loved that
yeah,
part.
Totally.
Loved that part.
But yeah, that's kind of that's our take on 2024's Nosferatu. I had a good enough time that I think it's landed in my top 10 of the year, but it's hard to say because yeah. I don't know that I'll feel the same way in like 10 years. You
yeah,
know? It's
totally.
One of those ones where it's hard to know how where I'll shake out on it. But like, there are just a lot of things about it that I really liked.
Yeah.
You know?
And there's also a lot of movies that like are deeply unworthy of a top 10.
So true.
So it just automatically yeah. gets things
weird,
up there.
Weird year for movies.
Weird. Yeah. In my brief scrolling of the Wikipedia American Movies of 2024 list, it is a weird year.
Yeah.
Despite not really liking it, I would never say don't go see it. I think it's still worth going
yeah,
to see.
Absolutely.
I think it's a fun time in the theater.
Yeah.
I went to see it, you know, it came out Christmas Day, but I didn't get to see it until, I don't know, maybe like the 20th. So it had been out for like
a couple days.
Yeah, a couple yeah. days. And it was still a pretty full theater.
Yeah.
And there was a group of teenagers, like young teens with somebody's parent, which was kind of funny because like it was a little... It was a little too much for them,
yeah.
like a little too boring and like too sexy for
yeah,
them.
Yeah, yeah,
and they were
too
feeling
serious.
Distracted and like throwing popcorn at
yeah.
each other. And the dad was sitting behind them and like had to lean forward and be like, if you guys don't cut it out, we're leaving.
Oh my God.
Which is kind of fun to see.
Yes, that rules.
And like one of them was like horking into like his nose the whole time. It was pretty gross. But
that's so annoying. There was at my screening, there was like a 5-year-old who was so crazy. I went with my sister on Christmas.
What are people doing?
I don't know. And we didn't see them until this kid went with his dad to the bathroom like an hour or two into the movie. And we're like, what?
That's crazy.
What are they doing?
It's
and then
like,
I was like, maybe they're leaving, but they came back because they clearly just went to the bathroom. And I was like, that kid is too little for this.
That's too little.
That's too little.
And, you know, I'm like not trying to be all about censorship for young kids. But listen, there's a line.
He's too little.
He's too
like,
little.
He's too little. He doesn't
for
understand
a movie
what's
this
going
long.
On. And too horny. Too horny for a child.
Yes.
He doesn't know.
No.
He doesn't know. But he knows enough.
There was There was B-O-O-B-S in those,
I know,
that
like
movie.
A couple of times there were B-O-O-B-S in that movie. I don't know about the 8005.
There was also
80085.
Yeah, exactly. There was also a ding dong in that
yeah,
movie.
There was, yeah,
there was. There was a decrepit ding dong.
Yeah, there was.
Which
nasty.
I loved.
I did too.
That was great.
We are the same, no matter what.
I know. Listen.
Here's the thing. Listen. Look.
Listen. Listen. It's about the journey and not the destination. We usually arrive at different destinations.
Here's the thing. Even when we disagree, we are the same.
We're here for the same thing. I don't get to see a rotten ding dong too much.
No. Almost never. Almost never did they
and
give that,
that
to us.
I tip my hat.
We're lucky, actually.
Bobby Eggers.
Thank you, Bobby Eggers. I appreciate you. All right. Do you want to talk about Anora?
Let's talk about Anora. Let's talk about Anora. You saw it more recently.
I did.
Do you want to talk about how you liked it?
Anora, for those of you who haven't seen it, is about a young woman who's a erotic dancer who... one night at her place of work at a strip club, a young man with a lot of money comes in and basically pays her to hang out with him all night. And then is like, hey, I want your number. And then continues to pay her to basically do like a girlfriend
experience.
Well,
and importantly, he seeks her out because he is Russian and
yes.
she speaks Russian because she's Russian American.
Yes. And then the movie follows... basically like their relationship as she continues to like work for him, but maybe they care about each other, maybe they don't, but he has he's like, they never reveal his age, but I the entire time was like, is he secretly 17?
I think he's supposed to be
like 18.
Yeah,
like truly, like
he's really young.
He's young. And his kind of mysterious history and why he has so much money.
Yeah.
I went into it a little skeptical because I had heard some reviews, including from Amanda, that were like, it's good, but there's things about it that I'm not sure about, including kind of like the characterization of Anora herself, who's mm-hmm. the name of the main character. I really liked it. I found it to be like it's really funny. It's directed by Sean Baker, who made Tangerine. Is actually his only movie I've seen.
Seen The Florida Project, yeah. which people love.
Or
Red
Rocket.
I've never seen Red Rocket.
Yeah.
Yep.
But he's kind of like a comedic director of kind of like working class people in like usually in like poor areas is kind of his thing.
Yeah.
But I really liked it. I thought it was really fun. The middle section is kind of like a screwball comedy.
Yeah.
I saw somebody just compare it to After Hours, one of our fave
yeah.
Scorsese movies,
yeah.
Which I do feel like is a real comparison. I think I really understand the criticism of it, but I did not have a problem kind of with like the blank space of Anora's character. Mm-hmm. Like to me, it felt more like her, like the opacity of her character felt relevant to the story, where it's
yeah.
like she is kind of acting the whole time because she's performing this role.
Yeah.
But in I wasn't kind of sure about that until the very end when she has this like kind of breakdown, which is revealed.
The end scene is like kind of the real meat of this movie for a lot of people.
Yeah, it feels like the keystone to me where it sort of like revealed what was going on with her. I just really liked it. I thought it was really good.
I really liked Anora. Have softened on it over time. So when I first saw it, like Jenny referred to, I felt that for a movie named after its main character, it did not give Anora a lot of character. But after I like so many people who I like know saw it and loved it, I was like, is there something I'm missing? Which of course it's normal to
right.
be like the outlier.
Yeah,
but
I mean, there's also like watching a movie one time is so hard to like take everything in.
It is.
Know?
It is. And I've definitely softened on it over time. Mm-hmm. I really have. I did think it was really funny. Like I loved that middle part because it feels like You kind of get Anora basically teaming up temporarily with who are the villains of the movie, to put it very simply.
Some real goons.
And it turns into this like funny caper.
Mm-hmm.
I think when I was thinking about it as a more political movie, mm-hmm. I didn't like it and I didn't think it stood up to that task. But when I thought about it as a movie just about young people,
yeah,
figuring out what love is, like they want to be loved, but figuring out what that looks like,
yeah,
then it meant a lot more to me.
Yeah, totally.
When I changed my idea of what it was trying to do.
Yeah, like lenses. Yeah.
Yeah, that helped a lot. Like, yeah. I initially had an issue with like talking about Anora's character. All of the interactions that she has with her friends or coworkers really are kind of like vapid and stereotypical.
Yeah.
Like, like some stripper fights.
Yeah.
And like,
yeah.
And I was, you know, like that kind of bummed me out. It was things like that that I
that's interesting.
Didn't
yeah.
like initially.
Totally.
But again, going on. This kid that she gets on with, right, is the son of a Russian oligarch. And he has known nothing but endless money
yeah.
his entire life.
Oh, God.
So, again, spoilers ahead. They spend, like, weeks of nonstop partying together. And eventually he says to her that he's going to have to leave the U.S. and go back to Russia unless they get married. And she's of course initially like, don't be stupid.
Yeah.
Like, but she is thrilled by the idea of a fairy tale romance. There's a scene earlier in the movie, which again, when I saw it, I was like, this is kind of annoying, but like she talks about wanting to get married at Disney World.
Yeah, totally.
And so she is seeking a type of fairy tale romance and it seems to be this. And then of course, because this kid is the most spoiled of brats, like it's all just an adventure to him.
Yeah.
And there's never been a problem he can't buy his way out of.
Right.
And we know as mostly adult audience members that this is not a real romance. We know this. And I guess that's where I softened on it is seeing like what you're saying where she actually is given a lot of character mm-hmm. in those empty spaces where I think she does know that,
yeah.
but she is also trying to survive.
Right.
Like she doesn't, I was frustrated with her lack of interiority, but when you are just trying to survive, you don't have time to develop interiority.
I think that her, like we mostly spend time with her while she's at work. Like
yes.
she is pretty much always acting for him and you can tell.
We don't get her alone much.
Yeah. But you can still see kind of, there are these moments where like, he'll say something insane, Vanya, the guy who she like marries, and she like, you can see her make like this expression where she's like, what?
Yeah.
Like, and that alone honestly was enough for me to be like, oh yeah, like she's here to kind of like get by. Like she
yeah.
is so stoked when they get married because she is like, sick, I'm
my
gonna be,
ticket out.
Yeah, she's like, I'm set up, like this guy has cash. Like it doesn't, that's what I feel like her character isn't necessarily what you would expect from this kind of story. Like usually
yeah.
when you see stories about women who are like in sex work or like in that kind of compromised position, it's like they're like, God, I wish I could get out of here. But for her, she's just like, oh, you're gonna pay me to do this? Hell yeah. Like that's
yeah,
fine. Like
it's true.
Like to me that, I don't know. It also, I didn't, it's interesting to hear that you were thinking about it through a political lens, because I just like never did. But that makes sense to me why you would, like, and I have seen a lot of critiques of Sean Baker in general where it's like he is depicting this world that he's not a part of.
Yeah.
But for me, I was really watching it being like, this is a story about this one person during this one insane thing that happens to her. And
yeah.
it's like, it's the story about this event that's happening between these two people. It's not like trying to give me a, yeah, like it's not necessarily even about her. It's just like about
yeah.
this thing that's happening. It's like a moment in time and
yeah.
a story about that. And like that for me, like let me kind of enter the story at a, like an oblique enough angle that I enjoyed it and had like a really fun time, because it is, it's just like this really insane, like weird thing that happens to her.
Yeah. I wasn't doing me or it, the movie, any favors by trying to approach it at this like over analytical angle.
But that's what we watch movies for. Totally. You know? Like, we take them apart. We check them out.
Totally.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. And like, it's true. The more I think about it, like, I guess in the moment there was a part of me that I was like, no, like she's like had to be tough her whole life. Like, there's no way you could pull one over on her like they do. But, she's so young.
Yeah.
And like, it does kind of stay away from the trope of like stripper with a heart of gold.
Yeah, no, she's just trying to get her bag, baby.
Yeah, exactly.
I like, that's what, to me, it's like, she's really tenacious. She is really headstrong. Like, you do see all of these things about her that like, yes, when she's with Vanya, she's kind of doing a character, but like, you see enough of her that to me, I was like, no, like, I feel like I know who she is, even though she has depths that like, I don't understand, obviously, because we're just entering in at this moment in time for her.
Yeah, we're outside of her.
Totally.
Like, she is our main character, but we're not seeing things through her eyes.
No,
like,
not
we are
at all.
Outside of everybody witnessing
we're watching it. Yeah. But yeah, I thought it was so, and I wasn't even really sold on the emotional story kind of until the end, which felt like really like a key turning in a lock where I was like, oh, okay. Like, I do, it feels like I understand it now.
Yeah.
Where before it was like, this is just kind of like a crazy caper. Like, what is happening? And then at the end you're like, oh no. Okay. Yes. Like, this is actually like a humanizing story about her.
Yeah.
And like, what's going on with her.
Yeah.
Even though she's still pretty opaque by the end. Like, she is mysterious, but I think, I don't know, that wasn't a problem for me, but I can kind of recognize that and like see what the critiques are of that movie. But I really liked it. I gotta watch his other movies.
My sister has
been trying to get me to watch The Florida Project since
people
it came out.
People love it.
They
and
do.
I look forward to rewatching Anora, because like I said, the things I felt about it, some have stuck around, but for the most part, a lot has dissolved. And as I've changed my perspective on it and, again, thinking about it as a story of youth.
Yeah, totally. She is so young.
She's so,
they both are.
Well, like also when you are that young and your sexuality has been currency for so long, like you that's at play there too, like her, like you said, performing for him all the time. Like, that's kind of like, maybe we can assume that's what she knows about relationships, because those are the relationships she's had.
Yeah, totally.
Relationships with like vulnerability and connection through that.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Haven't been a part of her life.
No,
you know?
Totally. Yeah. Right. It's like this is her avenue. Like, the only other relationship we see of hers is hers with her sister, which is like entirely also like surface, in the sense that like they do not share anything.
No.
Like, they live together and they fight.
Yep.
And it's like, that's pretty much it. But I really liked Anora. I did. It like, it kind of crept its way up, because especially I finished it and was like, I liked that. I wonder how I feel about it. And then like in the preceding like couple of weeks, I've been like, I really liked it. It's just
gross.
Like, it's kind of creeping up on me.
It's creeping up on me too.
Creeping up on me.
I look forward to seeing it again.
Ain't that the way?
I wonder if it will ever hit as hard as it's hit for some people.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think it. I don't know. Is it going to make it on your top 10, do you think?
It's in my top 15. I don't know if it's fully in a top 10 yet.
But yeah.
It's hard to say. This year was such a weird year for movies.
It was a really weird year. Like, I think there's a lot of treasure to be dug up in, like, the stuff that's not going to get any attention from the awards.
Totally.
Like some of the little indie horrors were great. Like Oddity.
Oddity
is
on my list. Yeah. Oddity is in my top 10. It's so good.
Definitely in my top 10. It was that thing scared me more than
it's
a lot has.
So good. I know. I feel like this year, and I'm sure this happens every year too, but I just am not always paying attention. I feel like there were a lot of horror movies that I was really excited for, and I didn't end up really liking any of them.
Yeah.
Like, Oddity was a real, like, sneak up on me. I had a great time.
Yeah.
the Vortilock, which I talked about a couple weeks ago.
I know. Instagram showed me so many ads and I still haven't seen it, but it looked great.
That's one that I watched it, really enjoyed it, but like didn't. I did not anticipate it being like in my top 10, but now I'm like, the Vortilock is really good, actually.
Yeah. yeah, not in my top 10, but like I loved Late Night with the Devil.
Yeah.
Was another great little one. I actually really liked The First Omen.
I did too.
The First Omen was good.
It was like one of my favorite horror movies of the year. Like the Late Night with the Devil, I liked most of, but I felt like it kind of didn't stick the landing for me.
No, it didn't quite do it. Like,
yeah,
it's comparing like, it to other horror standards, our standards change when it comes to horror.
So tricky.
So yes, like
there are things about it that I really like, but it just feels like it didn't quite meet the mark.
No,
The First Omen, however, I watched being like, this is going to be dumb.
I put it on because I was like, I want to watch something dumb. It's good.
It's good.
It's good.
It's good, though. Like, it's especially because it came out like a month after Immaculate, which is essentially the same plot. But The First Omen is just like has a little more juice.
Yeah.
And it's
like, a little more finessed. Like Immaculate had a fun idea behind it. But
it just is
it
like,
wasn't...
Immaculate's like a great like one and done. I'm never going to think about it even one more time. But I had a great time at the movie theater. I ate a lot of popcorn. The First Omen, I'm like, it creeps into my mind every once in a while. And I'm
it's
like,
pretty good.
Like the last act in particular, which usually in horror movies, the ending does not work.
Yes.
In The First Omen, the ending I feel like is the best part.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Yeah.
That's a surprise. Came from behind victory.
I know. It's good.
Oh, God. Wow.
Yeah.
What a weird year for me.
It was really weird.
Who knew we would be saying this?
I know. There's still so many I have to see. There's so many.
Do you want? Will you tell me some of the movies on your list that to watch?
Absolutely. For 2024. Yeah. Let me just pull up my list real quick.
I feel like there's also a bunch that are like, everybody's like, this is the best movie of the year. And it just simply isn't out yet. Like no one can see it.
Yeah.
So annoying.
Exactly. And you know, 2024 is... It's over.
They make it hard for us.
All right. So as you know, I still haven't seen I Saw the TV Glow.
Oh, yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited to see it.
I hope you like it. I'll be sad if you don't, but I'll understand.
I want to see La Chimera, which I know you've seen.
I loved La Chimera. Jumped up for me. Top five.
I want to see Red Rooms, which I think is just going to be entertaining.
I don't know what Red Rooms is.
It's a French movie about a detective who gets obsessed with cases about like scary websites where you can go and watch people live stream get murdered.
That sounds fun. Yeah. Okay, I'm going to add that to my list really quick.
There is, I mean, I still haven't seen Booba Girl.
Booba Girl, same. That's on my list. Gotta see Booba Girl.
All We Imagine is as Light.
Yeah. Everybody says The Nickel Boys is really good.
Everyone says The Nickel Boys is great.
I see it.
Kind of want to see A Complete Unknown.
Yeah, here's the thing. I hear it's totally fine.
Yeah.
People like it.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, can I confess something to you?
Yes,
sorry,
please.
I just remembered because I saw a clip from it this morning and was like, oh, no, I actually really want to see this movie now. Did you hear about the Monkey movie?
Monkey Man?
No, not Monkey Man.
Oh, the one about Robbie Williams?
Oh, yeah. Do you know who Robbie Williams is because you're British? Asking as a person who didn't know who Robbie Williams was.
My dad was the English one and he was 87.
I know, but
he
doesn't know
who Robbie
Williams is. Yeah, but you know who Robbie Williams is apparently.
Listen, I saw an ad for that movie and I was like, what the H-E double hockey sticks is this? And then I found out it's Robbie Williams.
It's a biopic about Robbie Williams, but he's a monkey, for those of you who don't know. It's called Better Man. I saw the trailer twice and I was like, this looks so stupid. Why would anybody ever go see this? And then this weekend, somebody posted a clip from it that makes it look really fun.
I mean, like,
and I'm scared I'm gonna like a Better Man. I'm really scared, Amanda. I'm nervous.
Dude, you've never been scared to stand in your truth before. What's
I'm
wrong?
I'm gonna stand in my truth about the fucking monkey Robbie Williams. I hope I don't like it. But it was a clip where it's like he's just like walking down the street and destroying stuff and it looks really fun.
I know, and they made him like kind of hot. It's really weird.
That I didn't feel, but, but like respect it. Anyway, that's
you
my...
don't have to respect it. It's okay.
But anyway, I think I might see it. Unfortunately, I wasn't going to.
I don't think it's weird to see it. He, like, you know some of his songs. He made some hits.
I believe you.
Like rock DJ. Okay, you'll know them. You have an older sister. You'll know the song.
Robbie Williams.
I think we actually secretly all know, and then we didn't know we knew him until we're like, "What is this monkey movie?"
Maybe this is us all finally understanding.
There's a new Kiyoshi Kurosawa movie called Cloud that I want to see. That's
me too.
The other one.
Yeah.
Last thought note. Okay.
Yeah. Thank you for reminding me about Cloud. Gotta watch it.